Hi, my name's Noah Coburn, and over the past few months, I've been working with my colleague Timur Shiran with the support of the Holling Center to try to get a better understanding of the special immigrant visa program for Afghans. One of the beauties of the SIV program, as it's called, is its simplicity. It looks to take Afghans who have worked for the United States in Afghanistan and are now in danger because of their service to the United States and Afghanistan, and provide them with visas to the United States. This allows them to escape the danger they now face in their homeland. Timur, doing interviews in Afghanistan, and myself doing interviews in four cities across the United States, found that the way this policy is implemented raises some really interesting questions and complications. First of all, in our interviews with 50 different recipients, applicants, and other people associated with the SIV program, one of the things that we found was there's not a real clear understanding of the rules and regulations. They're all posted on the State Department's website, but the rumors around them run rampant. There's no clear understanding of why some people are granted a visa in just a matter of months. Others have to wait for years. Some are rejected because it's determined that they are not in real danger, but there's no explanation of how these decisions are made. These regulations can have actually real implications for the lives of those who receive visas or are rejected. So, for example, there's some nuances between the Afghan program and the program for Iraqis, such as the fact that Iraqis are allowed to bring with them parents and all of their dependents. But for Afghans, they're only allowed to bring their spouse and their dependents under the age of 18. What this means is that families have been divided. So, for example, one man I interviewed in San Diego had brought four of his children to the United States, but had had to leave his 18-year-old son behind in Afghanistan. This son now was in increased risk because people knew that his family was in the United States, and they assumed that he was then wealthy and could be a target for kidnappers. Now the son, he said, was considering trying to find some traffickers to smuggle him into Europe so that he could eventually make his way to the United States. The SIV program is often discussed by policymakers as a program to bring Afghans to the United States and provide them with an alternative life to the danger they face in Afghanistan. In reality, however, the program is little more than a visa. Any support that the Afghan immigrants receive is all outsourced through resettlement agencies. Some of these interviewees I spoke with praised, but more often times than not, they were critical of these programs. Oftentimes, the agencies are aimed at helping only the poorest refugees. And there's no help, for example, translating resumes or trying to get those Afghans with real skills jobs at an equivalent level in the United States. One man, for example, described how the job support he received was simply the fact that the resettlement agency dropped him off at a jobs fair one day. Because they're struggling economically so much, some of the immigrants I spoke with were thinking about returning to Afghanistan, and almost everybody I spoke with had already knew of somebody who had returned. Timur found some interesting parallels in Afghanistan where he's watched the real economic impact of these mostly educated and middle-class Afghans moving to America. It's led to what some are referring to as a brain drain, and certain civic groups and NGOs are having real problems finding employable Afghans. If you'd like to hear more about our recommendations, I encourage you to read the report that we wrote for the Holling Center. The real takeaway, however, in my mind, is that we need, as a country, to think in a much more nuanced manner about our policies around immigration and our long-term commitment to Afghanistan.